Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Monday. We got to start the week off right. You hear me barking? what's happening? Say hello out there. Say hello. See, I'm going to see if I can check my settings here. As everybody joins me. Faith just scared herself. Yeah, say, hop on and say hello. Hey, there's Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Let's see. Glad you could join me. How's your new business going? Making those cool things with crystals and all kinds of other stuff. Okay. Public. Looks like my privacy is set to public, so I think I'm good. Oh, who can comment? That's the thing that gets changed. Public. Anybody can comment. There. Well, hopefully that'll do it. So, hey, Sarah's here. And Lisa, your business is going good. Happy to hear it. Excelente. That's me learning Spanish. I take a word that sounds the same in English and Spanish, and then I use it as often as possible. Excelente. Faith is thinking, hi, Sarah. She can't say it because she's a dog. So here we are, integration, people, integration, integration, integration. This is a big one. This is a big topic. This is, you know, it's because it's like a spiritual truth. So spiritual truths, you know, spider web. And they you can come in many different doorways to them, and they apply to many different things, you know. So that's why this is such a big topic, you know. So integration, it's, you know, I'm going to try to come at it in a few different ways. But the main thing, you know, the biggest picture, I guess, of the integration aspect is that's really what we're doing here. This is, I mean, it's what we're doing. It's kind of the point of everything. So, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I believe that if we take giant steps back, we can see the evolution of man and, you know, and since we are the, I'm not sure how to phrase this, the most dominant creature on the planet, we'll just say it that way. Not necessarily saying that we should be, but that we are. we're the most dominant creature on the planet and we are the ones that have free will. So it's in alignment to say that this is part of the evolutionary process, the integration that we're going through. And then, so like, that's the big picture, which I'll expand on in a minute, but it also goes into the day-to-day lives that we all live of integrating our new ways of being into our lives. If we don't integrate it, there's no point, you know? So, you know, those are kind of like the two bookends of this topic. So, you know, with, so to expand on the evolutionary process. You know, we're on this planet and we were coinciding with nature for a period of time. And then we decided to conquer nature, which, you know, ultimately you can't do, but we tried like hell. So we've been, you know, kind of conquering and doing what we want and inventing things and doing all this stuff for many years. And since we've been living out of alignment with nature, we're also living out of alignment with spiritual law, because, I mean, it's just something is either eternally true or it's not. It can't be true sometimes or in certain situations, but not in others. That is temporal truth. That's like the earthly stuff. So eternal truth, like it's always true, you know, was 1,000 years ago and it's going to be 1,000 years from now. So with that in mind, integration is the point of what we're trying to do. We're trying to, we cannot deny our human aspects, and we cannot continue living out of alignment with nature and or spiritual law, which is basically the same thing. So we need to integrate our spirituality into our humanness. That's the journey. That's the evolution that we're going through. So it's, you know, and there's different ideas of what that could look like as we move forward. And I think the most common concept is that we're creating a new heaven and a new earth, right? You know, I mean, this is what has been prophesized about for thousands of years. So now we're coming into it because we've reached a point where the way we are living just doesn't work anymore. You know, it's not feasible. It doesn't work. So we are creating a new way of being. And what we're doing is we're taking our spiritual truth, spiritual law, our spiritual foundation, which we're always connected to, and we're bringing that into the earthly dimension. That's the integration on a large scale that we're doing. You know, so what does that look like? It raises our vibration, which raises the collective vibration. And if I'm living peacefully in love and a bunch of other people are living peacefully in the vibration of love and more, you know, and then it mushrooms and more people do it because it feels good and it's our evolutionary process. And we actually get there. Well, then it would be like we're living in a heaven right here on earth. You know, a utopia. And at first that's like, wow, that's pie in the sky stuff, Glenn, you know, boy, that'd be nice. You know, those, it's closer than we think. And we've all experienced it. Like there are times when you've been interacting, you've been consumed by something in your life. And there's something else outside of what you're consumed by that's right there trying to get our attention. So, you know, I'll give you a realistic example. We've all seen it with kids, but we've all done it ourselves. We have the ability to lock into a vibration, a signal. It's just like a radio station. You know, we tune into a specific vibration, a specific signal, and then we hear that music. We don't hear the music on the other stations. Well, we can do that too. And we've all experienced that to some degree. So when you're sitting there and you're just completely immersed in something, sometimes we can get there in meditation, sometimes watching TV, you know, all kinds of things. And like I said, we've seen it with kids and you're going, hey, 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 what do you want for dinner? What do you want for dinner? Hey, what do you want for dinner? And you don't even know that they're there. They're standing a foot away, calling your name, talking to you, and you don't know that they're there. That is your, like, how can you not, if it's just scientific, well, the vibrations are reaching you from their voice. You could hear them 10 minutes ago when they were in the other room. Now they're right next to you, and your consciousness is not even aware that they're there. You're not even conscious that the person is right next to you. Now, we've all experienced this, and we shrug it off like it's nothing. It's something. You know, we can actually interact in a completely different reality. And so that's one example. And then the other example that we've all experienced is the aspect of our perspective being our reality. It's literally our reality. I cannot stress this enough. Every time I say it, everybody goes, yeah, I know what you mean. And even me, you know, I'll throw myself in there with everybody. Yeah, I get it. My perspective is my reality. And then all of a sudden there's something in your life that comes in and you're just really mistreated and you're like, this is ridiculous. And I cannot believe that they treated me like this and it's wrong. And I'm going to tell them and rah, rah, rah. And we're all wound up and we believe it to be completely true. And somebody goes, well, that's your perspective. And no, it's not. That's the truth. And this is a blah, 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 blah. And then if we calm down and then somebody comes in and explains to us and we go, well, like, what if this person's job was to just get you off the phone as quickly as possible because they have a workload and therefore that's what they're trying to do as opposed to actually solve your problem because that's what their job is and they're supervisor was breathing down their neck. You know, I'm making up some hypothetical thing, whatever. Some alternative perspective to where it wasn't personal. They weren't out to get you. And, you know, maybe you could just let it go. And then all of a sudden you go, yeah, okay, now that I've relaxed a little bit, I guess that's possible. It could be true. Yeah, this is how it literally dictates our reality. I mean, what's more real than being upset and pissed off that somebody specifically attacked you for no reason? And then an hour later after a conversation, you're like, well, it probably wasn't personal. You know, I get it. I've had bad days. Oh my God. That's like, you're completely at peace from when you were completely angry. That's your reality, you know? So we can actually function in a different reality. I mean, I was, you know, up here in the mountains of the DR resisting some of the changes that I needed to go through. And I was unhappy looking at the mountains out my back window. And then when I changed my perspective, all of a sudden I was looking at the same mountains. Now all of a sudden I'm happy. What's the difference? My perspective changed. The circumstances didn't change, you know? So it's literally our reality. And this, I'm explaining this to try to explain how big of a deal this integration is. If we take our spiritual growth, our self-help growth, our trying to be a better person, whatever we want to call it, and we integrate it into our lives, what we're doing is we're taking the vibration of spirituality, of love, and we're birthing it into this world through our bodies, through our actions, through what we do. That's integrating our spirituality into our human world. And it's integrating the two worlds, a new heaven and a new earth. You see? This is what we're talking about. So in the grand scheme of things, this is what it is. This is what enlightenment is. You know, everybody's after enlightenment and they want to wake up and all this stuff. This is what it actually looks like. And I think that one of the best examples is the story of the Buddha. You know, the story of the Buddha is, you know, he was a prince and then he left everything because he saw some misery that had been hidden from him in his childhood. And it was prophesied he was either going to be the conqueror of everything, the biggest king ever that was going to conquer the whole, I think there was like 13 different areas in India or something, and he was going to conquer them all and bring them all together, or he was going to be a great holy man. So his father protected him from everything to try to get him to be a king like he was. And he went outside the walls and saw misery. It affected him. He left everything that he knew to become a holy man and to end suffering. That was his whole thing. So he dove into it hardcore. I mean, he was an extremist. He did everything to the max. So, you know, aesthetics were big in India at that time, which they still, you know, they still have them to this day. The aesthetics believed that the path to enlightenment was denial of the body. So, you know, they will fast, they will starve themselves. Buddha was eating a grain of rice a day just to live. They'll torture their bodies in lots of different ways, hold their arm in a certain position for years, like all kinds of things, sleep on beds of nails, like all this stuff. And it's all denial of the body to try to transcend the body to get into the spiritual realm of enlightenment. So that was their beliefs, and Buddha dove in. You know, he was doing this stuff and became like a very proficient in these skills. He, you know, he ate less than everybody. He did, you know, all this stuff. So he was, you know, very committed to this type of stuff. And finally he was like, this isn't working. I'm not becoming enlightened. This is not the path to enlightenment. So he ended up stopping. And then this is when he went and sat under the Bodhi tree. And he said, I am not moving until I am enlightened, until I wake up. So he sat there. Now, a lot of people don't realize is, you know, what that looked like. He just woke up. Well, not really. Like, he was tempted by all his temptations. So the way they tell the story is I might have wrote down the name Mara. So Mara was the kind of like the devil, right? So he sent all his temptations one after another, all his demons after Buddha, and Buddha just sat there. And then he sent his daughters to seduce him, and Buddha just sat there. And there may have been more, I'm not sure, but he just sat there. He did not, you know, lean into any of these things. So the final test was Mara saying, who are you? Who are you to be granted eternal wisdom, universal wisdom? Who are you to be enlightened? Who testifies for you to be good enough to have access to this divine knowledge? And Buddha stood there and put his hand down and touched the ground, and the earth shook. The earth testified for him. This is the integration, integrating the earthly with the spiritual. That's the integration. He did not deny his body. He did not deny that he was of earth. He became one with it, stood in his humanity, and entered into the spiritual realm. So he didn't have to transcend the human realm to get to the spiritual realm. He stood in the human realm and connected with the spiritual realm. Integration, both. You see, this is what we're talking about here. We don't have to deny our body. We don't have to deny our humanness. We don't have to transcend the earth. You know, what we need to do is bring our spirituality into our earthly lives. This is why integration is so important. So that's like the big picture stuff. You know, let me know what you guys think. Hey, Nancy, thanks for joining us. Yes, our vibe does attract our tribe. So, yeah, you know, throw me some feedback here, peeps. So that is the big scale integration, the big picture, the holy crap, this is what it's all about type mentality. you know, which, you know, everything that's really true is the same in the microcosm as it is in the macrocosm, which this is why a lot of times I try to do this. I try to go big and then go small and draw the line, because to me, like, that's kind of everything. You know, one of the things that I love about spirituality is it's so realistic. It's so logical. It's so truthful. It's so factual. I love how not woo-woo it is. It's not pie in the sky. Oh, I wonder if it's like this. It makes perfect sense. You know, when you look at people who have come before you, when you compare, does this make sense? Or and compare the philosophy that we live, compare it with the philosophies that I talk about. Compare them and see which makes more sense. You know, does it make sense that people have been trying to transcend suffering and find enlightenment and peace and love for thousands of years? Yeah. Does it make sense that people have actually found it? Yeah. Does it make sense that, you know, the way they finally did it is through integration? Yeah. Okay. Well, what's the alternative? I'm probably not even going to go into this because I don't even know what the alternative, I don't even know what society teaches against that. It doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach what I just said. It teaches something else. So whatever the heck else you think it teaches, compare that. Does that make sense to what society teaches you? Because what society teaches doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. It's unsustainable. You know, society teaches that we can use the world without replenishing it. We can live in non-sustainable ways and it will never come back and bite us in the ass. That's something that society teaches. Is it true? Does it hold water? No, it doesn't. It's coming to bite us in the ass more and more ways every day. So it doesn't, you know, this is what I mean. Just use your logic. I'm not asking anybody to believe something that some pie in the sky woo-woo mentality. It's realistic. It just makes sense compared to what they're teaching. Ingrid, hi Ingrid. It teaches discontentment to make people buy more stuff. Oh, nicely said. Yeah, that it does do that. You know, it's trying to make us consumers. You know, we are numbers. We are little notches in a big thing that buys stuff. You know, it's amazing. Like over here, like, you know, like my friends made this beautiful sectional for me. And they're like, you're going to have this for the rest of your life. And like at first I had to wrap my brain around that. Like, do I even want it for the rest of my life? Like in the States, it's not even a conversation. You know, over here, that's a big thing. Like, we're building you something that is so well made that you will have this for the rest of your life. Wow. That's such a foreign concept to civilized society, you know? Nicole, hey, Nicole. Great story about Buddha. Yeah. And those of you, you know, I just rewatched something and I basically took it from there, although I've read books and stuff too. So anybody that's interested in I think it's a very good story of Buddha. It's the PBS version, which I just Googled story of Buddha, Richard Gere narrates, and it popped right up. I've watched it before. A few times. I think it came out in 2010, and I've watched it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times already. And it's just entertaining enough where it pulls me through the story really well. So it's nice. So yeah, check that out. It's the PBS. I just watched it for free on YouTube the other day again. Lisa, I feel sometimes it's hard for me to accept the craziness out there, and I literally have to let it go. It makes me sick. Well, right. And this is, so the more we integrate, this is one of the reasons why, you know, the reasons why I do everything that I do, but having this conversation is like, that's, you know, it's, if something is really making you sick, I mean, it frustrates me, of course, if I look at it, that's, but it doesn't impact my life. And that's what we have to make sure as we integrate this stuff, our, you know, what we're learning, our self-growth, our spiritual ways of living, stuff like that, as we integrate it, like not only does it distance ourselves from the dysfunction, but what it does is it really gives us hope. So now all of a sudden we look at the dysfunction of society and how warped and messed up it is. And we go, oh, well, you know, yeah, it sucks that it's like that. But I mean, that's not where we're going. That's where we're coming from. You know, so use that to keep us. We need to be hopeful, man. We need to. And the more stuff I watch and learn about that's out there, that's already being implemented, the more hopeful I get. So, you know, feed yourself some positive food about watch. There's tons of documentaries out there. Uplift.tv, which I think they changed their name. They might be Uplift.love now. Gaia TV has some stuff, you know, and this stuff varies on a level of depth. you know, some is very deep, some's not so deep, but whatever. Learning about seeing all the people that are out there living these sustainable ways of living and implementing these new things. It's everywhere, guys. It's in every dot of the corners of the world. It's all over. We have a really good foundation set. So let's latch onto that and really practice living where we're going instead of being frustrated where we're coming from. All that dysfunction, that's what we're transcending. We're leaving that behind, you know, so we can let go of it and really put our attention on where we're going. That's how we manifest, you know, that's how we create. We have to be open to a new way of being and, you know, have an intention of going there. So, you know, the integration, I mean, I talked about it from the big perspective, of course, but this is something that is probably the most common missing piece in spiritual work. And the reason that the way it gets forgotten about or not done properly is because we get addicted to learning. Like when you're exposed to spiritual truth, it feels good. You're like, oh yeah. And you know, it makes you hopeful and functional and oh yeah, you know, and it feels good. That's not change, you know? And then when we understand a concept intellectually, we go, oh, I get it now. Oh, I definitely get it. You know how many times, especially, I can picture this one time years ago, especially, I was really working on some specific things. This was, I believe, it was when I was at the horse farm, maybe when I first got there or something. And I was working through things and I would have conversations. And I'm a pretty deep guy. I understand things pretty well and all this stuff. And I'd have these conversations and I'd be like, yes, that's it. And I'm transcending this. And then I'd start out and I'd start working. And then all of a sudden it wouldn't take. And 3 months, and I don't know when I'd fall off, but some point I would fall off. And then 3 months later, I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh crap, I'm doing the same thing I was doing 3 months ago. I thought I was going to transcend this. And I did that multiple times. And what I realized is that we pay too much attention on intellectual understanding because that's what we're so used to here on earth. And we have to transcend that. You know, there's three aspects and I've got a whole podcast on this. There's three aspects. It's intellectual, conceptual, and physical. So understanding something intellectually, even in depthly, is not enough. It's not going to change your life. It might make it a little bit better, or it might change it for a little while, but it's not really going to change your life. So what we need to do, you know, slow down and integrate. don't get caught up in learning more things and learning more things and going to more teachers and more teachers. It's like, keep it simple. You know, a lot, I mean, I recommend focusing on 1 to 3 teachers max at one time. You know, some people are just listening to 10 different teachers. Like, oh, I listen to spiritual podcasts all day. Like, how, when do you integrate the teachings into your life? You know, exposure, osmosis only does so much. You know, we can only expose ourselves to information like that. It's helpful, but I mean, it's not going to change your life. We have to take this stuff and implement it into our lives. We have to contemplate it, have conversations with it, let it settle in conceptually deeper. We have to take action in our physical lives, our human lives. You know, we're not letting go of the fact we're human. We're taking the spirituality and bringing it into our human lives. We're practicing it in our human life. You know, I want to be love. I wish there was more love in the world. Oh, you know, we need more love in this world. Like, well, how are you bringing more love into this world? It's your job. It's my job. It's everybody on here's job. It's your neighbor's job. And you know what? I can't control whether my neighbor does it or whether they don't do it. I can't control whether the rest of the world does it or they don't do it. But what I can control, if I do it, it's the only thing I can control. So I have to do it. So I have to take these things and implement them into my life. That's integrating a spiritual concept into a physical world by actually living it. You know, by actually paying for somebody's coffee at Dunkin' Donuts for my Northeast friends, you know, by going and helping somebody, by volunteering, by just how you live your life, and even more important, like that stuff is all external physical and has to do with other people. It's even more important about your self-talk. How do you talk to yourself? Do you talk to yourself lovingly? How much do you beat yourself up? Are you judgmental with yourself? You know, how much are you getting consumed about the problems in politics and living in fear because of it? If you're consumed by it, you're living in fear by it. You know, you can't be knee deep in the middle of a game of fear and not be playing fear. That's like being in the middle of a freaking soccer game and going, "Hey, I'm not playing soccer," as you kick the ball. It's like, no, you kind of are. You're on a soccer field in the middle of a soccer game. Everybody's playing soccer and you're kicking a soccer ball. That's playing soccer. You know, so like if you're out there interacting in a fearful world, there's work that we can be doing. You know, if you're caught up in arguments, there's something that can be done there, right at the argument. You know, maybe you need to set a boundary for your own self-love. Maybe you need to speak your truth better and stand in it. Maybe you need to get out of your own head and be more loving to the other person. I don't know. There's many different situations out there, but my point is that we need to be the change we wish to see in the world. And that's by integrating all this. I almost swore, but I'm trying to keep the rating of no swearing, here. But we have to take all this spiritual crap that we're learning, because that's what it is. It's a bunch of spiritual crap until it's implemented. It sounds good. It looks good on a meme. They've been making Hallmark cards out of it for years. But there's no substance to it. You know, integrate the spiritual teachings into our life. Love your teachings. Thank you, Lisa. You've been there right from the beginning. I've been integrating a lot of what you're talking about. Also have have had an awesome couple of years by keeping it simple. Well, this is what, you know, that's what integrating looks like, is keeping it simple. It's very simple. It's just, you know, we take a teaching and then we go, how can I live? Like, I don't know any real spiritual teaching that isn't practical. I mean, that's kind of the whole point, you know, like, I mean, if there's a spiritual teaching out there that you can't figure out how to bring it into your life, email me, because that's its purpose. It's to bring it into your life. It's to birth it into this world. You know, it's to use to make your life better. It's not to think about or contemplate. I mean, thinking and contemplating is good, but we do plenty of that. You know, we think about stuff all the time and we talk about stuff all the time, but do we live it? That's integration, living it. We are vibrational beings. Okay, so everything is energy. We are energy. We have a vibrational rate. And everything that we've experienced and every way of being that we are is vibrational. It has a vibration. There is a vibration to alcoholism. There is a vibration to physical abuse. There's a vibration to low self-esteem. There's a vibration to self-love. There's a vibration to absolutely everything. And all those little vibrations that we've experienced make up our vibration. So how do we become somebody new? How do we actually live a different life, a more happy, fulfilling life? Well, we have to change our vibration. Well, how do we do that? By thinking and talking about stuff? Nope. That's just at a surface level. Makes us feel good for a little while. Doesn't really change anything vibrationally. Nothing deep. We have to live it. We have to experience it. We have to stand in it. We have to act in the vibration of it. No, I'm not even going to go down that road. I'm going to go down a more positive road. Like we cannot say we love ourselves until we love ourselves. You know, like, I love myself. Oh, that didn't change my life. No, it's not going to. Now, sometimes, but people have these practices. Well, look in the mirror and tell yourself you love yourself, even if you don't believe it. Keep doing it every day until you believe it. Okay, so things like this can actually work. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. But that can work. So what happens when it does work? Why does it work when it works? Well, when it works, it's because the person, when they look in their eyes in the mirror and they say that, now it starts changing their vibration little by little by little. And at first, it probably starts making them it be like, okay, well, maybe I could love myself. It's possible. And then all of a sudden, they go, oh, I think I do love myself a little bit. You know, and then, oh, wow, I really do love myself. And then when you're able to look at yourself in the eye and say, I love myself, and have it feel right. The reason it feels right is because you shifted your vibration. So it's no longer a lie. Because, you know, like, and a lie is not that big of a deal. Let's not get carried away on the word here. But in the beginning, when you said it, if you say something that you don't believe to be true, that's a lie. So if in the beginning it feels like a lie, that's why it doesn't feel good and you don't believe it. But then eventually, if you start believing it, it's no longer a lie. Now you actually believe in it. So when you say it, it's because you're vibrationally attuned to that, to be your truth. See, this is how this stuff works. So it's not, you know, this big mystery of you know, it's not about finding the missing piece of information. You know, when if you have grown up in a society like we all have, or most of us have, that's extremely negative, extremely dysfunctional, right? And then all of a sudden, now we're in 2021, and there's a spiritual shift going on, whether you want to believe it or not. It's freaking happening. It's here. Self-help is becoming much more popular. It's fashionable now. You know, to work on yourself. Oh, I'm working on myself. Oh, me too. You know, oh, I'm talking with my therapist. I'm talking with my life coach. It's very fashionable right now to work on yourself because it's picking up steam, and this is a good thing. But, you know, some of it is very surfacey. But this is what's actually, we're in the middle of a spiritual shift that's happening, and we're transcending that old way of being. So if you inundate yourself with positive self-talk, with positive talk with other people, maybe hanging around the real negative people less, listening to spiritual podcasts, reading a spiritual book, just doing that stuff, you're going to pick up some stuff. Your life is probably going to get a little bit better and you'll feel a little bit better. But that is not it. It's not enough. This is not what we're, this is not what you're seeking. Nobody wants to not be miserable. You know what I mean? Like, the bar is so low now. It's like, if we're just not ready to commit suicide, then that's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Like, you know, we're here to be happy and to experience love and peace and joy and to actually enjoy our time here on this planet. I'm not saying that we're going to do it all the time. There's going to be ups and downs. But as a general rule, we need to try a, you know, hold, let's lift the bar up a little bit higher than, you know, I'm not suicidal. Maybe I can stop doing my work now, you know. Let's go up and really, really strive for the happiness that we deserve. And in so doing, if you're really striving to change your life and live a happy existence and have satisfactory and enjoyable relationships with your family and your friends and your partner and stuff like that, if you're really wanting to live a good experience, live a good life, then you must implement things. Which that's what integration is. It's taking a spiritual, integrating it into your human life, implementing it into your human life, and changing, thereby changing your vibration to vibrating at a happier and more joyful rate. And then you walk through life like you're literally functioning from a different perspective, which I talked about earlier, is your reality. It's literally your reality. So When you're walking around going, oh no, like I got a flat tire and it didn't bother me. Like that's exciting, man. That's really exciting. Living completely, interacting with life differently. What's better than that coming from a dysfunctional world, you know? Let's see. I'm going to check in with the comments. Sarah, in my experience, following your heart and taking bold steps creates a self-love. It happens automatically because self-respect and self-admiration are a direct result of those actions. Yeah, and I would agree with that. And, you know, sometimes it's those three parts, intellectual, conceptual, and physical. And you never know what order they're going to come in. A lot of times we get exposed to information intellectually, and then that's where we stop. We can't stop there. We need to contemplate them. We need to have conversations with them. We need to expose ourselves to the teaching and really, you know, meditate on it, really try to understand the concepts conceptually. What does this mean? Not like, oh, I get it, you know. As soon as your brain goes, like if you ask yourself a question, do I deeply understand this? And you can't even finish the saying before your brain spits out an answer, you don't get it. Because that's your ego talking. And if your ego is in charge, you're not in a spiritual space. So if you go, oh, here's this spiritual teaching about integration. Do I understand? Yeah, you get it. You understand it. Maybe you do understand it, but it's simply intellectual. You need to slow down. Do I really understand it? Do I really, really understand it? What does it mean then? What are some examples that I can do it in my life? Do you see when you ask those questions of yourself and you slow down and you go deeper, put some attention on your body as you're asking these questions instead of your head, and just slow down and really dive into it deeper. Is there a part of me that doesn't think this is true? What is that part? You can ask yourself these questions, and that can help you get it conceptually. And then you have to go live it. Find a way. How can I bring this teaching into my life? How can I live this teaching? Physically live it. And then do that. You know, so a lot of times it happens that way. Intellectual, conceptual, physical. But it can happen in any order. Sometimes it's conceptual first. Sometimes it's physical. Like that's what kind of led me in this direction. Like Sarah was saying, following your heart and taking bold steps creates self-love. See, that is taking action first. That's physical first. And then it creates the conceptual and the intellectual after, which it can be done like that. You know, my spiritual awakening was through the 12 steps over, you know, ballpark like 3 months or so, where everything just kept blowing open. And then I kept having smaller ones after that. But that first 3 months, I started understanding like all this stuff conceptually. And it was amazing and it was profound. And it was like, wow, oh my God. But I couldn't integrate it. I couldn't integrate it because I didn't understand it intellectually, like how to speak it. I couldn't even tell people what had happened to me. Like it was just so wow, you know, but inside I knew all these secrets of the universe, but I didn't know what to do with them. So I had to learn how to implement them and stand in them physically in my life. And I also read a bunch of books and listened to audios and stuff. Listening to the books and the audio was mostly my intellect, right? So I was trying to learn about what I knew conceptually, intellectually. And then when I was learning to live it in my life, that was physically standing in it, doing it. So then that helped me too. And then once I got the intellectual, conceptual, and physical, once I had those three pieces about, you know, most of the big stuff where it was time for me to start teaching and stuff, the universe shut the door on me reading, because I was reading everything. And I'm like, how am I reading? I hate reading. I've never been a reader. How am I reading all this stuff? I don't know, but it feels good. So I just accepted it and I kept reading. But eventually it got to the point where it was time for me to teach. So all of a sudden my ability to read just shut off. I mean, I could read, but it was like torture. So I stopped, you know, and then I had to take all three of those parts and become a teacher, because that's what I was supposed to do with this stuff once I got it. You know? So it can happen in any order. Now I'm just going to look over my notes, see if there was anything else I want to touch on. Yeah, it's, you know, just understanding that, you know, there are, you know, why do we have to integrate our spirituality into our human world? Well, because that's where we are. This is where we are. We're in a world of duality. This is where we live. Welcome. You've been here a while. You know, so everything is dual here. We live in a world of yin and yang. We live in a world of two sides to every coin. You know, there's duality in everything here on earth. So there has to be duality in us as well while we're here on earth. You know, so there is. There's a human side of us and there's a spiritual side of us. And as we integrate those two, it's alchemy. See, alchemy is a very ancient word and a very ancient concept, which is, you know, all eternal truths are ancient. They're coming back in now. So alchemy was the idea of course, most people know it as turning base metals into gold. But what's the point of that? The point of it is taking rather average materials and making something, combining them and making something above average, better than its combined parts. Okay. That's the mentality of alchemy. And this is what we are doing here on Earth, is when we integrate our spirituality with our humanness, we become more of ourselves. We expand, we become a better version of ourselves. We come, we have a spiritual part and we have a human part. And those two parts are cool. But man, when we combine them, it becomes a love factory that just emits more love through us into this realm. You know, and then it starts combining. Oh, the heaven and the earth. Heaven's vibrating way up here. Heaven isn't a place, by the way. Like, I don't know if you guys know that. Like, I mean, no matter what, like, even if you believe, you know, like strict Christian teachings about heaven, like, it's even then, it's not like a location up in the sky. It's just, it's a different vibration. It's a different reality that we go to. We transcend our body and go there. No matter what your belief system is, it's just a different vibration. And it's a vibration of love, right? So what we're doing is we're bringing that high vibration into this realm, raising the vibration of our realm. So we're bridging the gap. This is how this all works. Integration.
Woo!
Oh, I'm making weird sounds. That's a good sign. I consider it a good sign. So yeah, I think that's it. If anybody has a question or a comment, you can shoot that out, because I'm probably going to wrap it up. You're welcome, Lisa. But that's pretty much it. It's integration is so important, and it's the big concept to me. It's very heartwarming to think of. It's like, yes, okay, cool. We are heading in the right direction. This is a beautiful evolution of our species that we're finally getting to. We're finally getting to the good point, people. Stop looking at the bad stuff going, oh, that sucks. That's what change looks like. Come on. You know, most people in the world know an addict or an alcoholic, and they're such good examples of how things work because they're extreme. So, you know, if I were to say, hey, you know, you have an alcoholic or an addict and they're really hitting bottom, or most people know what that means. They're really struggling. They're really having a bad time. Their life is not working for them anymore. And most people understand the concept of hitting bottom being a good thing, because that's how people try to find another way of being, right? This is why people seek out recovery. This is why people do the work of the 12 steps, which that ain't easy. I've done it. It ain't easy. So why are you going to do that deep a work? Because you can't stand living the way you're living anymore. That's what change looks like, unfortunately, for now. Doesn't have to, but nothing else is snapping us out of this dream that we're in. So when you're looking at the world and all its problems, don't be so judgmental. That's just the world hitting bottom. You know, we're getting closer and closer to bottom, and it's helping us. It's bringing in contrast. It's helping us see what works and what doesn't work. It's getting more and more obvious what works and what doesn't work. You know, people like global warming, you know, when did that start? 30 years ago, 20 years ago, global warming. And we've been arguing over global warming for decades, right? Now we're getting to the point where we're transcending that argument. We're going, you know what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if there's global warming. Doesn't matter if there isn't global warming. What matters is that we are literally destroying the earth. We are taking, and we are starting to run low on supplies that aren't replenishing. That's just fact. If you want to say the weather's caused by something else, whatever. The fact is the way we're living is not sustainable for the long term, and we can actually see that right now. So even the people that are profit-driven are starting to change and do things differently so they can make profit on the new thing, because they're going to run out of the old thing. You know, and I don't care why people will change. I just want them to change. So like, we are, this is evolution, man. That we are getting closer to the change. So don't be too quick to get caught up in the negativity and be like, oh no, this sucks. Look at how horrible it is. Yeah. You know, you want me to tell my story about what my life looked like when I got sober? Horrible. You know, really, really horrible. So, you know, that's often what it looks like. That's what leads to change. You know? So keep that in mind. Be the change you wish to see. Integrate the spiritual teachings. You don't have to find 300 spiritual teachings or listen to them all the time. What you need to do is find one and then implement it over and over and over until you feel the change, until your life changes. And then find another one and implement that. You know, my book's filled with them. Grab my book, Down to Earth. You know, you can get that Amazon or wherever. The Four Agreements is a great book, and I'm not going to go into all the books, but The Four Agreements has literally four things. Pick one, implement it until your life changes for the better. Then pick the next one. You know, I mean, seriously, we need to start integrating our spiritual teachings instead of just learning. Learning doesn't do crap until we implement it. So that'll do. And I got to highlight this one. Sarah says, your book kicks ass with a heart. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. So go out there, live it, be the change you wish to see, integrate, understand it in a big conceptual, eternal perspective, and then bring it into the microcosm of your life. And that is what is going to change your life. Integrating spiritual teachings into your life is what's going to change it. The rest isn't. All right. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And, I did some interview today. It was a business thing. So any of you that are in business, I'm going to be part of a business summit. So keep your eyes open for that. You know, I'll share the links when I get it. But I think there's going to be a lot of special, you know, it's a summit. So they're going to get lots of people who specialize in certain areas. But it is focused on business. So if you're into that, you know, keep your eyes open. I'll be sharing it soon. So thank you, everybody. Thanks. Integrate. Implement. Change your life. That's how you do it. I love you. Thank you. And we will talk with you soon.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.